Hello, everybody. Well, I start with the not-so-glad tidings that, unfortunately, Alexei Navalny is dead, most likely murdered by the Putin regime. So it was just this afternoon that the Russian Federal Prison Service announced that the man had died at the age of 47 in a penal colony in the Russian Arctic. He was 47 years old. Only yesterday he appeared in court by video link and appeared to be energetic, in reasonable health, despite being rather haggard. He was always a slim man, but he noticed that his weight had dropped alarmingly in the last few months. Now, we know who was controlling exactly what he was given to eat. There's no suggestion he had any eating disorder or refused to eat. So Navalny, he has laid down his life for the Russian people. He is 1,000 times the man Putin is. Navalny, I salute you. Your memory is evergreen. He is a man of immense valor, and he tried to do his best for the people of Russia. And what a cruel and immoral world we live in, when people like him are so savagely punished for being righteous, while people who are low, down, dirty, dishonorable, treacherous, cruel, sadistic, vile, like Putin, are loaded with honors and treasures and exalted. Navalny, who is trying to make the world better for Russians as well as everybody else, to stop the Putin regime robbing the poor blind, and to stop this illegal war of unprovoked aggression. So Navalny, he has laid down his life for his people. He was a barrister in Russia. He could have lived rich, he could have lived free, he could have lived high in the hog, but he turned it all down to do the morally right thing. And sadly, he's achieved very little success. So he was there serving a 19-year prison sentence in Yamalo-Nenets. He supposedly felt unwell after going for a stroll, collapsed, immediately lost consciousness, and doctors were summoned instantly, but he was pronounced dead at the scene. So they say they've not yet determined the cause of death. But RT, which is the Kremlin's sewer of choice for publishing its filthy lies, this channel has said that he died of a blood clot. Now, a doctor in Moscow who frequently examined Navalny said it's impossible to find that out before an autopsy, and there is no suggestion there has been an autopsy. That was only hours after his death that that little lie was leaked. All right, I don't know. Now, I can't prove for certain that he wasn't murdered, and I know the onus is upon the accuser to prove it. But we know that Putin tried to murder him before in 2020 when Navalny went on a plane and he made the mistake of sipping a cup of tea, and then he was taken very ill suddenly. Nobody else who drank tea on that plane was remotely unwell, and he was rushed to hospital. He managed to get to Germany, where the doctor saved his life. And he courageously, perhaps in a foolhardy manner, returned to Russia in 2021, as soon as coronavirus restrictions permitted, was arrested at the airport. He planned to land at a certain airport where he's going to be greeted by thousands of well-wishers, but the plane was diverted at the last minute, so he couldn't meet his supporters. He was taken to custody immediately. He was given various prison sentences for founding a so-called extremist organization, the Organization Against Corruption, to stop Russian people being robbed by their oppressors, Putin and his merry mob. And obviously some of the legislation in the United Kingdom is distressingly reminiscent of that which scars Russia's legal system, organizations being so-called extremist, when they don't suit the establishment. So he was a courageous dissident who would not be silenced, a man of great moral courage as well as physical courage. Anyway, so outside the old headquarters of the KGB, now the FSB, some human rights activists laid flowers in memory of Alexei Navalny. So he was married, he had two children, and it's obviously a terrible day for them. But, you know, as I remember reading Mandela's Long Walk to Freedom, said the price paid by relatives was almost too high. So he did his duty to the Russian people. There he was, serving time for them, hungering for justice. But you might think, well, what about your duties as a father and as a husband? But he sacrificed all that for the greater good. What else about him? He came from a small town near the border with Belarus, a not very wealthy family. They ran some small factory. He studied in Russia at People's Friendship University, Druzhba, formerly Lumumba University. He qualified as a barrister there. He studied in the Financial University under the Russian government. He'd also won a scholarship to study at Yale. He spoke very good English and all the rest of it. So then he began noticing how much money was stolen from state-owned companies. He was able to buy shares in them and go to shareholders' meetings and ask some very worthwhile questions at shareholders' meetings. But he got hate mail. He found himself followed. He got death threats. He got menacing phone calls in the middle of the night from untraceable numbers and stuff like that. So he was a very brave person, and he kept going. He organized opposition protests. He was willing to address ultra-nationalist rallies. He occasionally said distasteful things about people from the North Caucasus. He sought to contest the presidency years ago, but he was blocked from doing so because Putin obviously feared that he was too popular. So that was him. It'd be a far better Russia if someone like him was in charge. He suffered grievously in prison. He was held in the isolator, a cell 3 meters by 3 meters. He was held in that for 270 days, when the maximum allowed by Russian law is 15 days. Supposedly this state of law that Putin has, it flagrantly and persistently breaks its own law on a massive scale. It's an extremely sadistic, petty, vicious regime that Putin runs. That's him. He was not able to stand at the 2018 election, and he knew many other heroic human rights activists in Russia who paid with their lives for trying to uphold the liberties of the Russian people and the rights guaranteed to them under the Russian constitution, like Boris Nemtsov, the sometime deputy prime minister of Russia, who was murdered just outside the Kremlin in 2015. So it's the latest of a string of Putin's enemies who've died premature and violent deaths. And all right, I can't absolutely exclude the possibility that this death was natural. So there he was, a fairly healthy man, age 47. No one ever suggests he took drugs, hadn't smoked for years, scarcely ever drank alcohol, certainly wasn't overweight, and yet he dropped dead. A rather unlikely scenario. And nowhere would be more closely controlled by the Russian state than a prison, a remote place. I think so that there could be few well-wishers, few visitors, or anything like that. So it's horrendous that he has died. And why did Putin murder him now? I suppose this far into the Ukraine war, thought it can't really get worse. Maybe no interest in exchanging him for any Russian criminal who's imprisoned in Western countries. It's also a warning to would-be dissidents. If anybody dares raise their voice for freedom, for peace, this is what you're going to get, a cruel, agonizing, and very premature death. And the prison service lost him for about 10 days earlier this year. So presumably they take him to the most remote location they could. They could murder him with impunity, with as few witnesses around as possible, and so on. All right, it may well turn out he's been poisoned. We shall see. Right, thank you so much for watching my channel. Make sure you subscribe on Patreon, donate on PayPal. All right, goodbye, everyone.